Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com, and this is the PainSci Updates podcast. And more specifically, this episode is a reading of the Post-Menopause and Pain, Hormones and Exercise, A Beginning. Dr. Louise Tulla wrote an editorial about menopause for a new exercise-focused issue of the British Journal of Sports Medicine. She writes, quote, "Despite a renaissance in menopause awareness, the over-medicalization of women's midlife health threatens to eclipse foundational interventions like physical activity." And she warns women are trapped between the devil of over-medicalization and the deep blue sea of misinformation spewing from influencers. What does this mean for women with chronic pain? And this is for the men as well as the women, by the way. I don't have an article about this topic yet. This post is the seedling for that article. To get started, I'm writing about Dr. Tulla's editorial rather than a new study, say, because I'm just getting started on the topic, and every deep dive starts with a shallow one. Her perspective will help me know which myths to avoid perpetuating, where to focus my attention, and what primary research to read and cite as I proceed. For women, a lot of this will be old news, but many men, especially male healthcare professionals, kind of need to start here with me. And maybe some of the younger women as well. I remember how surprised both my wife and I were by a lot of the so-called basics about menopause that we didn't know about until she was living with them. So, some basics. Menopause is not just hot flashes. That's the vasomotor symptoms of menopause. Menopause has quite a wide array of symptoms: bad sleep, bad moods, mood swings, brain fog, bladder trouble, headaches, and of particular interest here, musculoskeletal troubles like joint pain, frozen shoulder, tendonitis, and osteoarthritis. There's a term for all of this painful stuff that goes with menopause: musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause, which is kind of awkward. Needs workshopping. Widespread irritating menopause pains, or WIMP? Any takers? It's unclear exactly how it works. For instance, slow muscle loss, sarcopenia, is one of the things that defines aging for men and women. But evidence is kind of wishy-washy on whether it's accelerated by menopause. But there is emerging evidence that perimenopause is pro-inflammatory, which would explain a lot. Some of the aches and pains may respond to menopause hormone therapy, but many do not. There are major myths about the power of hormones, both good and bad, about their good powers and their bad powers. Early research exaggerated the risks of MHT, formerly HRT, specifically and infamously the risk of breast cancer. That was a drama that started just down the road from me with some research at the University of British Columbia. Many women quit MHT on their own initiative when those scary headlines dropped, or they were cut off paternalistically in many cases. That left a vacuum that was filled by the advice of influencers and celebrities who eventually powered a hormones-fix-everything backlash and then a lot of unrealistic expectations of hormones. If only hormones were, as Tulla writes, a panacea capable of reversing aging, restoring athleticism, and eliminating all symptoms. In reality, MHT can help with some of the symptoms and probably reduces fracture risk, but it is no magic bullet. And the risks and benefits vary greatly from person to person. So Tulla emphasizes hormones are not a universal cure, and MHT should be limited primarily to symptomatic management and fracture prevention. So what is a solid, broadly effective intervention? Trust the muscle, not the myth, is Tulla's final section heading in her editorial. The alternative to unrealistic expectations of MHT is realistic expectations of exercise. And by the way, by exercise, I'm not talking about endless, tedious cardio. In fact, Tulla writes, quote, "Intense aerobic activity can transiently worsen vasomotor symptoms," that's the hot flashes, "and the traditional emphasis on cardio for weight loss should be rebalanced towards strength training for muscle." Tulla makes a strong case for strength. Resistance training, lifting weights, should be a top priority for midlife women because it has a whole bunch of benefits. Let's do a list, and the confidence level is good to great on most of these. Improves many musculoskeletal symptoms more reliably than hormones. I put that one at the top of the list, considering who's listening to this. Helps maintain bone mineral density, which is critical for preventing fractures, of course. Also critical for fracture prevention is improving balance, which lowers fall risk. Combats age-related muscle loss, that's the sarcopenia again, reduces high blood sugar and cholesterol, and protects cognitive function. That's a lot. Really not bad for something so accessible. Plus, it would be nice to score a point against the myth of feminine fragility, wouldn't it? And I will add that strength training is easier than most people realize. In fact, it's so easy that gym memberships are not required, and this makes the option way more appealing to many women who are reluctant to spend time around a lot of fit young people, especially when a lot of those fit young people would fit the description of a gym bro. So specifically, strength training is easy because it's efficient. A little goes a surprisingly long way, a point that I have supported with a lot of research over many years. And I've got a whole article about that, which the web version links to, of course. So, carpe the midlife opportunity. Tuller writes to conclude, menopause represents a critical window of opportunity for risk modification. Women deserve clear, evidence-based guidance, which supports MHT for symptoms and fracture prevention, but activity, exercise, and especially lifting weights for practically everything else. Put your trust in muscle, not myths. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.